"Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And this was the moment in which Paul could clearly state the complexity of salvation through Christ and other means, as we said. That was the moment he could turn round and have recorded in the New Testament scriptures as well how men are to be truly saved through believing in Christ, and a list given of every other aspect of how we can be saved so that we are sure in how we are saved. And this was Paul's golden opportunity to set the record straight on those things. And what does he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. And welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the truth of God together. We're turning to Romans chapter 10, a chapter that is of vital importance and significance as it sets forth the essentiality of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in this passage we have the importance of hearing the great gospel message, of the importance of calling upon the Lord, of believing in him, of hearing the gospel of Christ from preachers that have been called and sent by God for such a task. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message, the absolute necessity of hearing the gospel. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
Sinners are to call upon the name of God. But that thought about Christ alone and believing in him, it reminds us that to contend that salvation is through other means than the simple means of faith and repentance in Christ alone and calling upon Christ alone for salvation, it adds to the gospel. Those that do so are accursed. To contend that there is no hope and no salvation outside a complex manner of works and rituals for salvation is to twist and corrupt the gospel of Christ. Paul nails it here when he speaks of calling upon the name of the Lord. That's all that has to be done. Tonight, if you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, are you resting in Christ alone? Strip away the self-righteousness, the false religion, the ideas of others, or your own opinions. Is your faith fixed and is it resting upon the Savior? Upon Christ alone, because you've called in him. Secondly, I want you to see that sinners must believe in Christ. Sinners must believe in Christ. This moves us a step down this process, these mechanics. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Sinners must believe in Christ. And in believing on Christ, they then call upon Christ. There is no praying aright without believing, Matthew Henry said. Sinners must call upon the Lord, but praying to God, calling upon his name will save a man. But first, there is no praying aright, Spurgeon said, without believing. There is to be belief that Christ can save. And so calling is the action, calling is what we do, but it is the consequence of believing. Believing that you're a sinner. Believing that there is no salvation outside of Christ. Believing that Christ died to save you and that Christ can save you if you but call upon his name. Oh, you're to have that faith that Christ saves. Tonight, do you believe in God's truth? Do you believe in the scriptures? Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The sinner needs to believe on the Savior. How can men be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one question, does it not carry the weight of eternity and the forgiveness of sins? Maybe a theological question, but is it not personal to you? How can I be saved? By believing, by calling upon the name of the Lord. Have you done that? Have you turned from your sin, self-righteousness, and all of these things, and focused simply upon the Savior? There's a great simplicity. We've said that here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nothing else involved but believing and calling upon the name of the Lord. And belief in Christ is essential for salvation. Belief in Christ is essential for salvation. To call on him, you must believe. Faith is vital because without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Savior said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the scriptures are clear. There must be faith in Christ. There must be a belief in Christ. Salvation is not through other means. It's not through who you are or your heritage or what church you may attend or how good you may be. Salvation is through faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, what about your faith? What is your faith all about? Has your faith led you to call upon Christ for salvation? Is your faith fixed upon Him? Have you been saved? Do you know your sins forgiven? Do you know that you've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus? Do you know that you've received eternal life? Oh, that you would believe on Christ. To be saved, sinners must call on Christ. They must believe on Christ. But they must hear of Christ. They must hear of Christ. That is our third and final thought this evening. And this passage reminds us that salvation, belief in Christ, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are processes, there are mechanics to being saved. You have to call upon the Lord. To call upon Him, you must believe. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we find here at the very end of the message this evening, and in regard to these questions, to believe, the sinner must hear of Christ. To hear of Christ, there must be someone to preach Christ. For someone to preach Christ, they must be sent by Christ to preach Christ. We see here how important it is to hear the message of salvation. And tonight, if you're thinking, well, preaching isn't that important. It's not that vital. I don't need to come to God's house so much because preaching is not really essential. As long as I hear it now and again or a few times a year, it's okay. If you're in your sins, hearing the preaching of God's Word is absolutely essential for you, for it is the way of life. It points out the way of salvation. As a believer, you need to be reminded of these truths. As a believer, you need to hear the Word of God applied to your soul. You need to understand the process here, that you too would pray and be involved in that process, that God would call men and send men, that you would be involved as being one who is a messenger of Christ in setting forth His Word. There are men, women in this world who have heard nothing of Christ. There was quite the controversy some time ago, I think many years ago. I can't picture the exact date in my mind, but a long time ago. And it was Billy Graham who was having conversation with another well-known American pastor. And the conclusion of the matter was that they agreed that there were those who had never heard the name of Christ, never heard the gospel, and they would be in heaven. Without hearing the gospel, without believing on Christ, without knowing something of the message of salvation. But yet here we find in Romans 10, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There is a need to hear of Christ. A need to hear the Word of Christ and the Word of the gospel. And that is why we send out missionaries. That is why we preach the Word of God. That is why we have a radio ministry. That is why we engage in evangelism. That is why the truth of the gospel is preached, because men need to hear it. It is a duty to go into the world with the gospel of Christ. And we see the importance of hearing the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And tonight we need to have that Word-centered, that preaching-centered attitude within our hearts, that the preaching of God's truth is vital and it is essential, and it is not something we should set aside. Sinners must hear of Christ, and tonight if you're in your sin, you need to hear of Christ. You need to hear the preaching of His precious Word. There's no hearing without preaching. The Savior said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching is the means that has been appointed by the sovereign God of heaven for His Word to be presented or proclaimed to the world. The preacher is a proclaimer or a herald of the gospel of Christ. Notice what is said of them in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Not speaking here specifically of physical feet. I'm sure that's not something we want to examine or look much into. But we see how the gospel is presented here in a beautiful way. They preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And as God's word is preached, that is what should come forth. It is a gospel of peace with glad tidings of good things. Man despises these things. Man can despise the priority of preaching. There are many who have their idea in this world and in churches of how preaching should be done, of how long preaching should be, of what preaching should contain, of the subjects the pastor should never preach, because they're subjects that touch very close to home. But yet the Word of God is to be preached in fullness. 5-10 minute epilogues many see as satisfactory to the close of a busy service rather than the Holy Ghost anointed preaching of the Word of God. But we think of the revivals of old. We think of George Whitefield, of the Puritans. We can even go back to the history of our own denomination. And as preaching went forth, God blessed that preaching. God blessed that preaching. There were gospel campaigns in the early days of our denomination in Northern Ireland. Nowadays, normal campaign might be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe. But some of those old gospel missions campaigns went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. God was blessing. God was saving. Believers were bringing souls in to hear the preaching of the word. And yes, if you're thinking, well, that ties in with what we have in this passage, you'll be right. Because as believers, we're to understand that sinners need to hear the gospel. Sinners need to hear of Christ. They need to believe in Him, but they need to hear. And so what do? We bring them in. We tell them the gospel. We pray for their souls. We seek to be witnesses. Dear believer, tonight, are you desiring to be a witness for Christ? You may not be a preacher. You may struggle to present the truths of the gospel and answer every question that is put to you, but don't be afraid of that. Invite souls in. Bring souls into the house of God to hear the great message of the gospel, the message of God's truth, the message that is filled with the Word of God, a message of repentance as Peter lifted up his voice at Pentecost and cried for men to repent and to turn. That is the message, dear sinner, tonight, that you need to hear and believe that Christ died for sinners and that you are to repent of your sin and look unto Him. There is a need to hear the preaching. There is a need then for preachers, and preachers who are not ashamed of the gospel, preachers that love the Savior, preachers that are moved by the power of God and the call of God in their life. And we see this in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And dear congregation tonight, pray for preachers. Pray for men of God who are not ashamed of the gospel, that God would send them forth into the harvest field, that God would call men and use those men to preach the word, that they would be part of this chain that we see in Romans 10. They'd be sent by God, and they would preach the Word of God. Sinners would hear that. They would believe and call upon the name of the Lord. There is no preacher without the commission of God, sent and commissioned by God to preach His Word. God calls the preacher. God equips the preacher, and we rejoice in that. It is His work. I remember some years ago, I was around 13, 14, I felt the Lord first calling me to go into service for Him, perhaps go into the ministry. The Lord burdened me as the years went by, and I didn't want anything to do with that. I'm happy serving God in my little corner, and I didn't want to really go beyond that. And the Lord kept pressing upon me and pressing upon me, and it's almost 20 years ago, 2005, when I was reading the Word of God, and it really spoke to my heart and soul, and the consequence of that was eventually 4 years later going into our Bible college to train for the ministry. But the Lord came in a very clear way. I'd felt the Lord working within my heart and soul, and I was trying to fight that. And I came to a passage of Scripture, and it got to the point where I couldn't resist anymore. I knew it wasn't my idea. I was utterly convinced of that. It was not my idea. And it was the Lord sending forth. It was the Lord calling and commissioning. It was the Lord directing. I have no doubt of that. I remember just after that, one of those occasions, the Lord had given me these verses and directed me that way. I remember talking to the late Dr. Douglas in Israel. I went to Israel not that long after that. I think it was the month of May 2006, I think it was. It was just a little later after that. And I talked to him about the processes and going into college. But I remember in 2005, working in the local supermarket. I've told this story, I believe, before. And I was listening to Dr. Alan Kearns. He preached a series on discipleship back in the early 90s in our Greenville congregation. And I was listening to those sermons at night. I had an early iPod mini, and maybe some of the young ones have no idea what an iPod mini is, but it's an iPod, it's from Apple, it does the same thing as your phone, but I didn't have a phone in those days, and you download it off the internet, and I filled mine with sermons and listened to those sermons while I was working. The store was closed, we were filling the shelves and things, and I had the freedom to listen. And he was preaching, and he spoke about serving God. Maybe God is calling you to serve Him. And I opened the packet of baked beans, Heinz baked beans, and I took the plastic wrap off, and I'm turning to put those cans under the shelf. And he says, God might be calling you to serve Him, to go into full-time ministry. You might be a doctor, you might be a farmer, you might even be stacking beans on the supermarket shelf, and God could be calling you. And I think, yeah, as I said before, some of those tins fell on the floor and got dented. But I wasn't expecting that to happen. And I remember I told our brother about that many years later. He didn't think that when he preached that sermon that someone would actually be stacking beans on the supermarket shelf. Because back in the early 90s, it wasn't so easy to listen to sermons in that way. But God called in a great way. We can think of other men, and God has called them. We can think of the Apostle Paul. God called them, or called him into service for Him. And this is what we need when we think that sinners must hear of Christ. There must be men who will tell the message. And dear believer, you can tell that message. You can spread the word. You can invite souls into our services next week. You can tell them about the gospel. You can say, there's a radio program on, 5 a.m. if you're up. A little later, 12 hours later, if you don't want to get up at 5 a.m., go and hear the Word of God preached. Come to our church. Come and hear the gospel of Christ. Desire to bring lost souls in that they would hear of Christ and believe in Him, that they would call upon Him to be saved. What of you tonight? Do you believe the gospel? Do you trust in Christ? Are you desiring that as your soul has been so freed and emancipated by the power of the cross, that others, friends, and family would know the same Savior and rejoice in your Redeemer? Bring them in, draw them in, that they would hear of the gospel of Christ. And let us pray for preachers, that as generations fall and generations rise, that God would continue to call men who are faithful into His work. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. For
you. Spurgeon's devotional today brings us to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 39. The Word of God says, all that believe are justified. All that believe are justified. The believer in Christ receives a present justification. Faith does not produce this fruit by and by, but now. So far as justification is the result of faith, it is given to the soul in the moment when it closes with Christ and accepts him as its all in all. Are they who stand before the throne of God justified now? So are we, as truly and as clearly justified as they who walk in white and sing melodious praises to celestial harps. The thief upon the cross was justified the moment that he turned the eye of faith to Jesus, and Paul, the aged, after years of service, was not more justified than was the thief with no service at all. We are today accepted in the Beloved, today absolved from sin, today acquitted at the bar of God. Oh, soul transporting thought, there are some clusters of Eschol's vine which we shall not be able to gather till we enter heaven. This is a bough which runneth over the wall. This is not as the corn of the land, which we can never eat till we cross the Jordan. But this is part of the manna in the wilderness, a portion of our daily nutriment with which God supplies us in our journeying to and fro. We are now, even now, pardoned. Even now are our sins put away. Even now we stand in the sight of God accepted as though we had never been guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is not a sin in the book of God, even now, against one of his people. Who dareth to lay anything to their charge? There is neither speck, nor spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing remaining upon any one believer in the matter of justification in the sight of the Judge of all the earth. Let present privilege awaken us to present duty. And now, while life lasts, let us spend and be spent for our sweet Lord Jesus. We come to the end of our program today, and we thank you for taking time to listen to us today. And we do trust that the Lord will bless you and that his word would indeed find that resting place within your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.